Sometimes we can be in a position where we feel like we're bound. Now, that binding can come because of our own choices and our own sins. But sometimes, even if we have repented of our sins and we've been saved, we feel that there is something of a binding. Maybe it is because God has had to give us a chastisement in our life to get us back on track. And thinking about revival, what do we need to know if we're in this position? Welcome to God's Resistance, where we resist sin, self, the devil, and the world. Very thankful to have you tune in. And ultimately, we just want to look into God's Word, and we want to find out what kind of instructions God has to help us if we're bound, if we're captive to the devil, if we're captive to circumstances, if we feel stuck. What do we do about that? And I would like to look into Psalm 126 to help us think through this a little bit. So Psalm 126 says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So what does all this mean? Well, it's helpful, as I say oftentimes, to understand the context of what we are reading, because the scripture, the scripture is not just God wrote this for me, you know, in this day. He did. But he wrote it to a certain people for a certain time because of certain circumstances. So what do we do with all of that? Well, here in this Psalm 126, it is evident that what is taking place is that the people of Israel were in captivity, Babylonian captivity, and they were in this captivity because they decided to ignore God's warnings to them. God had warned them through several different means, primarily through his prophets, that judgment was going to come, except they repented and they turned, and they did not do that. And so judgment got progressively worse. And parents, if you're listening to this, it's the very same kind of a deal that when we tell our children that, you know, we want them to do a certain thing or we don't want them to do a certain thing, and they don't listen. Though you may have used soft means at first, the way that you then deal with things may become progressively more weighty. You know, you may be more firm in your voice. There may be more of a punishment that then attends your words, you know, and things get a little bit more severe. And I'm not countenancing us doing something evil or wrong. I'm just saying, you know, first you say, "I want you to do something." After that, you said, "I told you to do something." And after that, you said, "Now there's going to be consequences for you not doing it." And the progression that we see with God in the children of Israel is the same thing. God is a father. We are told that in the scriptures, and he was a father to Israel. They were his people. He was their God, and they were in captivity for 70 years for adopting idolatrous practices, worshiping gods, which were no gods, of other nations around, doing atrocious things that never even came into God's mind or heart, and that was his testimony. So we read here that this seems to be a time that their captivity had been, I guess it went to its full end, and now they're coming out of the captivity. And it says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." Now, what was the first captivity that Israel had to deal with? Well, the first captivity that Israel had to deal with was their captivity in Egypt. So there was a miraculous deliverance that was had for the children of Israel when they were captive under an oppressive people, the Egyptians. And it says here, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion," when God then helped us again, when he helped his people again, we were like them that dream, saying that all the sorrows, all the trials of the 70 years there in captivity, where they were scattered, they were ripped away from their home, from their families, from everything that they knew, and they were in sort of an oppressed and depressed situation. And he says, we were like them that dream. So all the terrible things that they had experienced back there at this point seem like a dream, because God has now taken them miraculously out of this captivity. Do you know, dear listener, that can be your story. You can be captive to sins. You can be captive to your addictions and to your vices and all those kind of things. And it can be something that you hate and yet you're stuck in. But the thing is, if you come to God, if you confess your sins before God, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to literally raise your dead spirit up out of death into life, then all that captivity you had can seem like a dream. It's past. It's not your reality anymore. It's that memory that's kind of back there, but it's not a present reality anymore. That's how they felt. Their captivity was turned around, and they were like them that dream, almost like, was that real? Did that really happen? For the joy now that was set before them. And we find that in verse two, he said, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." So naturally, when we're bound and when we're captive, things change. Our mouth then, instead of being in that depressive state, in that woe is me kind of a state, and complaining about the circumstances and feeling dejected and depressed about our present circumstances, when there is deliverance that comes, then the mouth is filled with laughter and singing. We're just thinking, praise God. Thank God it used to be this way and it's not this way anymore. And so their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongues with singing. And it was so exuberant. It was so noted by heathen nations around them. Heathen nations meaning those that did not know God, that did not believe in God. It was so noted by them that it says their testimony was, the Lord hath done great things for them. And there was no other nation in history that had miraculous deliverances like Israel did. The Egyptian deliverance, even through the entire book of Judges, the deliverances they had over and over again by nations that were oppressing them and that had more physical strength than them, miraculously, God delivered them over and over again. And this being a huge one out of Babylon's grip. And at that point, the king of Persia is the one that even said, yes, go back, you group of Jews, you Israelites, you go back, rebuild your city, rebuild your temple, rebuild your walls. And by the way, we're going to fund this all for you, and we'll give protection from our armies to make sure nobody stops you. This was what happened. That's miraculous. That wasn't something that normally would happen, but it happened here. And they were praising God. They were praising God so much, the heathen around them started to think, there must be some God. There must be a God much mightier than the God I know or serve. And that was their idols, because he has delivered this people over and over and over again with impossible circumstances against them, and yet he still delivered them. He has done great things. And then the response from the Israelites in verse 3 was, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And you know, we need to give vent to those things that God has done in our lives. The mercy, the abundant mercy God has given to us, the abundant grace that he's given. So I just heard a preacher recently say, mercy is we don't get what we deserve, and then grace is we get what we don't deserve. And so the empowerment of grace after God exercises mercy and completely changes us and changes the circumstances in our lives where we had zero power over it, that is to us. And we need to give vent to that. We need to praise and thank God for that. Not only, you know, as if we're praying and talking to God about and thanking him, but we need to be vocal about it wherever we go, because you know, there are other souls that are captive just like you were, and maybe even just like you are. And when that captivity is broken, when you're free, when you have victory and you are not under that bondage anymore, it is a shame to keep it to yourself. Naturally, you want to tell someone else. You want to tell the other people that you know that are still stuck, hey, there's deliverance. Hey, there's a God in heaven. Hey, he did this for me. And you know, if your life has been radically changed, your life is going to speak a testimony, and it's only going to back up the words that you say. But then it seems to be here with the children of Israel, there was still some form of captivity, and this psalm doesn't really speak of exactly what it is. Perhaps it was with the second wave of people coming out of captivity to then go with Nehemiah. The first wave went with Ezra, the second wave going with Nehemiah. It could be that, or it could just be some kind of oppressive situation that started to happen on them again where a nation was trying to come against them. I don't know. It doesn't really tell us exactly what it is, but their prayer is, Lord, you delivered us before. when we were in bondage and in captivity, and you're the same that you're the same today as you were back then, and we're asking that you would turn again our captivity today. Oh Lord, as the streams in the south, meaning that the streams flowed down south into these dry areas and made it pools of water, made areas that were arid and dry all of a sudden be lush. And they're saying, oh God, turn again our captivity. You've done it in times past. We're trusting you. You're the same God. You're going to do it today. And you know, if you find that God has helped you in your life to overcome the bondage you've been in, the bondage of sin, the bondage of perhaps wrong ways of thinking about God, and there could be a myriad of different things that you've been bound by that has really kept you stunted as far as what God died to make you and what he wants you really to be, regardless of whatever that is, if you come up to any point again where it appears to be some sort of captivity, don't just wallow in it. Look back and say, well, he helped me back there, and he's going to help me again today. And Lord, make it like the streams that flow into the south. Oh God, make my desert like a lush land. I need you again to pour out your spirit. I need you again to fill this dryness with that lushness, with the water of your spirit. I need your help again. He says, turn again our captivity. You know, we need to build our prayers like that. Think about how God has delivered you and how he's helped you, you know, over the years. And then again, go to God and say, God, you've done it before and I'm asking you to do it again. And you'll be surprised. God will come to your aid. And then he says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So I do want to tell you, dear listener, there are times where we have to go through some pretty tough stuff. If we are in sin, obviously we go through the bondage of sin. It's tough stuff. And while we're going through everything, it doesn't seem like the best situation that we're in. We'd rather not have to deal with the sufferings, with the trials, with the setbacks. But I just want to tell you, dear listener, oftentimes it's those trials, sufferings, and setbacks where God can get a hold of us. Because when everything was going fine, you know, we didn't really need God the same way. We weren't listening as well. But you know, God speaks silently in our joys and shouts in our sorrows. I think C.S. Lewis said something like that. And I found that to be the case. I look back and I think there's some awful things that I went through and it was painful, but I'm thankful that it happened because it turned me. It turned me to God. And there was many tears sown in that time, many times weeping before God, or many times just weeping in general before I even knew that there was a God in heaven that was going to help me out of this. I was weeping. And you know what? He said, those tears are like precious seeds. And especially to you, child of God, if you're listening, you're groaning perhaps over some setback and suffering you've got in your life. You're groaning because you want certain people to be saved, to be ready for heaven. He says here, if you go forth and weep bearing precious seed, you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves or the harvest with you. So this goes to us in this dark day. We can look at everything around us and we can find that it's not so great, right? But what God shows us is you'll go through sufferings, but this is a means to an end, my children, my people. This is a means to an end. I'm going to do something through this. And if you just keep weeping before me, you know, under the heavy load, don't think those tears are wasted. Those tears will sprout and it'll bring forth an abundant harvest. Don't give up. Your tears are seeds. You will sow in tears, but reap in joy. We need to have that perspective. I need to have that perspective. I'm talking to myself even right now. God help us to not be afraid of the pain and the suffering, but in the midst of it, say, Lord, where are you in the midst of all this? What do I need to learn? Where are you trying to bring things? And I want to be working together with you. And that's what we need to do, dear listener. Not run away from the trials, but run to Jesus Christ in the midst of them, knowing that the tears that I sow now will reap an abundant harvest of joy and blessing. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. I'd love to get together with you in person, go to a coffee shop. If not, I'll talk with you over the phone. Also visit godsresistance.com. Go to YouTube and search for God's Resistance Press for more. And every Thursday at 6:30 p.m., we are at the Abide Coffee Shop, and we'll see you there.